Good morning to you. Excuse me. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. And glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in, by the way, of WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM or over in the lower Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. And I welcome you to our service today. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, M106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I'm glad to announce that we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. And I welcome those of you that's listening by way of my website. My website is Pastor Ken Harger. .com, and then you take and go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Bring your mouse up over the Messages from the Lighthouse, and Current Media will show up. And when you click on Current Media, the top message is the message for today. My voice is still giving me some problems. We can't seem to figure out what's causing that, but we'll stick with it today, and I think it'll get better as I continue to talk. I'm over here at the Lighthouse on a Wednesday morning, putting the service together. What a beautiful day we had yesterday, and it was a special time to be able to enjoy another warm day in the month of November. So November is moving along, and we're just glad to be a part of your life today as we share with you in the broadcast. I do need to say thank you to those who have helped me with the financial costs that's involved in broadcasting. And so a big thank you to Bell and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, and to Gloria Spencer from Orleans in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. I thank you so much for your support. And to Shiloh Community Church, that's where I pastored for 50 years. And I still attend there a couple of the services. So our weekend of Shiloh begins on Saturday night at 6:30. And then Sunday morning we begin at 9 o'clock. And then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. Over in our Greenville campus, that's located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street. And that Sunday morning service is at 11 o'clock. And I'm grateful and thankful for K.N. King Singer picking out our music again this morning. And my message is entitled, We Need to Defeat the Giant of Fear. Fear is a part of our lives, especially in this generation of time that we're living in right now with this COVID factor and electing a new president and all the other things that's going on within our country today. There's a room for a lot of fear in each one of our lives. And I want to address that this morning. And as we do, we need to realize that God wants us to understand that He wants us to sing. He wants us to give praise to Him, even as we go through the difficult times of our life. There was two men in the days gone by recorded for us in the book of Acts that they had been beat up because they were talking about Jesus, and the religious people didn't want them to talk about Jesus, and so they were trying to get them to quit doing it, and they had them beat up and thrown in jail. And when it was midnight in jail, they started singing. Even though they were bound in a prison the way they was in those days, they put their hands in a shackle and their feet in a shackle. And nevertheless, they started singing. And so the song entitled this morning is God Wants You and I to Sing. He wants us, even amongst the difficulty of our life, to sing out to Him. So we'll get this song going, and maybe my voice will be a little better when I come back, and we'll continue on with the message. So God bless you. Thank you for tuning me in, and we'll trust God's going to encourage us today.
Their chains were fastened tight down at the jail that night. Still Paul and Silas would not
be dismayed. They said it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust Him, come what may.
God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing.
He loves to hear our praise on our cheerful days, when the pleasant times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along and we still sing Him songs, that is when we bless the Father's heart.
God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. Your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts around you, when despair is all.
Wow, that is a good song to begin this morning with. God wants to hear you sing. I believe He loves our singing when we're in worship service at church. He wants us to praise Him and give thanks to Him. But when you're going through a difficult time in your life, when you're going through COVID and it's lasted a lot longer than you hoped it would last, when you're going through all the difficulties that we are going through today, and yet we can sing out to the Lord, that's something that is a blessing to Him. That's a blessing to Him, because when we can praise Him when it's going difficult, that's pretty special. We'll talk about that as we talk about fear this morning, because there's certain things that helps us along the journey as we think about the difficult times of our life. And one of the things that does help us is that we give praise to the Lord for His goodness. It's a good thing to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Well, before we get started for our message today, I want to remember you, the yet listening audience that have tuned me in this morning. I do want to remember any unspoken prayer requests that you might have. And I just want to pray especially for you that the message would be a source of comfort and strength, and maybe even a challenge. So let's bow together for a moment. Dear Father, as we come into your presence once again, I want to pray that my voice will last throughout the service today. I want to pray, Father, for the listening audience. I'm so glad so many people have tuned us in. Many times people tell me when I'm in the supermarket that they listen to the broadcast, and I appreciate that so much. And Father, that's the ones I'm concerned about this morning, is a listening audience. They're the reason I'm over here at the Lighthouse. They're the reason I put this message together to share today, is I want to minister to the listening audience. And dear Father, whatever their needs are today, I pray you might minister to their needs. We realize that every week of our life, our needs are just a little different. Sometimes they're different from day to day. And we need that strength and encouragement that comes from you. So I pray your hand of blessing to be upon the listening audience and minister to them in a very special way. If any of them have any unspoken requests this morning, dear Father, I'd like to remember their unspoken requests as they focus on it right now. And dear Father, you know what they're thinking about. I pray that you would be pleased to meet their need of the unspoken request according to your will. Would you guide and direct in such a way in their life that they'll have no doubt that you have just ministered to them in meeting that need? And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for your kindness and for your goodness to each and every one of us. Now, Father, would you come and honor to your word? We all go through times of fear. And things change in our life, and fears get bigger, and sometimes fears kind of overwhelm us. And so, Father, we want to talk about your word and talk about what your word tells us about this thing called fear. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, the message last week we looked at, David conquered a giant in his life, a giant in the life of the nation of Israel. And we learned some things from David doing that that can be a tremendous help for each and every one of us. I love that David said in Psalm 56, 3 and 4, "When time I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What shall flesh do to me?" You know, I think that that's what David had in his mind and heart as he entered into that time with that giant and was able to defeat him. Well, you know what? In the Bible, there's mentioned 63 times in the Bible we hear the word about fear. He tells us to fear not, to not be afraid. I think fear is a part of our human nature. And when we become a child of God, we still must deal with the fear factor. We have to deal with that fear factor. That fear factor becomes a part of our lives. One of the promises that I like to hang on to in a time of fear is God gave us a spirit not of a fear, but God gave us a spirit of love, and a spirit of a self-control and a sound mind, so to speak. God is reminding us that these things can make such a difference in our life as we trust him. You know, oftentimes when people are going through difficulties and they don't have a relationship with God, or they haven't desired a relationship with God, I often have to ask myself, I wonder how they make it. Even with God's help, I have difficulty. I believe throughout the Bible, God gave promises to help people to have the spirit of power and of love, and to have the spirit of realizing how to get victory over this thing called fear. And we realize that God is in control, that he promises us, as he shares with us in the book of Isaiah. I think we need to understand that God reminds us, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways," declares the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And God reminds us in the book of Deuteronomy something along that same line. The Lord said, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. God's trying to remind us that we need not fear, that God's going to be with us throughout the difficulty. And that's what I wanted to do here at first, and then we'll come back to some of these promises, but just claim some promises from God's word that is tremendously beneficial. One of my favorite verses that I like for this is God tells us, don't love money. Be happy with what you have, because God has said, just be happy with what you have. I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can a mortal do to me? You know, he's reminding us, God is bigger than anybody else that's in your life and my life. He's bigger than anything else that is in our life. And so we need to trust him. Let me give you a couple more, because these are promises to hang on to. This is kind of laying the foundation for our message this week. It goes on to say, my body and my mind may waste away, but God remains the foundation of my life and my inheritance forever. As we get older, there's different fears, which I'll address a little later, that comes into our lives that we didn't have when we were younger, because we were able to handle things maybe a little bit better. But you know, as we closed last week, we ended with Psalm 23. It's a beautiful chapter in God's word. And David acknowledges God's goodness and protection in his life. David has come to learn to comfort and dependent upon God. He recounts his experience as God being a shepherd to him, like he was a shepherd to his father's sheep. We can have confidence and hope in God will provide throughout all of our life. It will help us to deal with the fear when we stop thinking like a human and we start thinking God thoughts. We need God's thoughts. We need to get a hold of God's thoughts that can be a tremendous help to each and every one of us. And you know, the idea that God tells us, I've given you some peace. It's not like peace the world gives you. I've given you some peace that will give you some confidence in overcoming whatever comes your way as a believer. And I believe that's true. And I believe God wants us to hang on to those promises. Now, I'm not asking you to memorize all those promises, but just to get a hold of some of the thoughts that God has promised. Number one, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. God has promised some of his strength to us when we're in weakness. God has promised not only that, but he gives us his power to help us through the things that cause us to have this thing called fear. I've got to tell you, folks, sometimes this fear is a giant. It's a giant in your life. It's a giant sometimes in my life. And today we need to remind ourselves that fear comes in many forms, and fear comes at all ages. We learn from David's life that the things we go through in our everyday life is to help train us. It's like being in a training center to help us face the giants that's going to show up later. And we need to realize the things that we see conquered in the past are to help us with our present and our future. We'll face a giant sometimes in our life that we didn't even know existed. And no way was it invited to be a part of our life. It's just something that happens as we go through life. This will happen in the normal routine of your life and my life. And God watches over us. That's what he wants us to get a hold of. David shares this in his word one time when he was talking about a fearful time in his life. In the book of Psalm 56, David said, "You keep record of my wanderings. You put my tears in your bottle. They are already in your book. Then my enemies will retreat when I call you. This I know, God is on my side." David's talking to himself. I praise the word of God. I praise the word of the Lord. I trust God. I'm not going to be afraid. He's trying to talk about his fears that was overtaking his life. What can these other mortal people do to me when God is watching over me? And then he says, "I remember my vows that I've made to you, O God." And many times those vows have been made in a time of fear, a time of discouragement. "O God, I will keep my vows. I'll keep them by offering songs of thanksgiving to you." David is saying, "I'm going to just thank you." And I don't know if I want to sing myself to the Lord, especially with my voice the way it is bothering like this morning. But you know what? He's saying, "You know what? God's going to rescue me. So I'm going to thank him. I'm going to praise him. You have kept my feet from stumbling so that I could walk in your presence in the light of life." And he's reflecting upon some of the things that have been a blessing in his life in days gone by. And that's good to do, especially when we're in times of fear, and to remember some of the blessings that God has done for us. I love the open relationship that David shared with God about his personal concern. David says, "God's kept record of the times I've wandered from him, and he kept a record of my tears. He kept them in a bottle and he wrote them down in his book." In that picture of God caring so much for David, we can see a great personal care. We can see great personal concern for what David was going through. And that's to help us learn that God has those concerns for us. And whatever the enemy is that's causing the fear, whatever it is that's coming into your life that's causing you to be afraid, he's saying, "I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to remember the vows that I've made to him, and I'm going to sing some songs to him, and I'm going to give some thanksgiving to him." From my own experience of fear, I know that this is a lot easier said than done. To respond in that kind of a way and leave it with God and trust God with it, I know that's what we're supposed to do, folks. But too often in my life, when I am faced with fear for my family, for my friends, for things I'm going through, I take that to the Lord and I do some of the same things that David said he was doing. Give thanks to the Lord and all of that. And all of a sudden I pick it back up again. And I got to start getting concerned about it. That concern kind of makes me wonder, have I done all that I should do? I'm asking God to help, but have I done all I should do? And we all need to realize that sometimes we need to examine ourselves. Have we done everything we can do to help that? Ever since Jesus came into my life, I wanted him to use me to help fix people, to help people along the journey of their life. And you know, sometimes we can't bring that about. Even at 85, I'm still trying and thinking that, God, I want you to use me to be assistant to somebody else in your life, in their life, and to overcome the fears that I have so I can learn to trust in you in a much greater way. I think God is saying to you and I that he wants us to understand that he knows our human nature. You've got to remember that God made us. We were made in the image of God, but he made us humans. And we need to realize it's human to fear. It's human to fear. With that thought in mind, I want to continue on the message with just a little different way of sharing it with you. And that is, I believe David cared for his father's sheep. He had a lot of time to sit in the outdoors and to think about God, think about life. I love the outdoors, and that's one of my places I like to do, is to reflect upon the things that of my life. Deer hunting season always was a very special time to me, just to reflect upon sitting outdoors. I used to call it God's Great Cathedral. Sitting out in the woods somewhere, and whether a deer came by, it didn't really matter to me. I just like to see a day wake up. I just like to hear the sounds of the animals beginning to move around a little bit and so on, all those kinds of things. But also, it was such a quiet time, such a peaceful time. And I want us to learn that's what David did. He spent a lot of his life, even as he cared for the sheep at nighttime. And he could remember many past victories and how he protected the sheep. He reminded himself that he had killed a lion. He reminded himself that he killed a bear that was going to harm the sheep. And he was victorious over those things. That's what he had in his repertoire, so to speak, when he went against a giant. He says, God's already directed me how to kill a bear and a lion. This giant will be no problem. I love it that when the nation of Israel crossed over the Jordan River, as they were heading to the promised land that's given to us in the book of Joshua. When you know what God did, a couple of things there that I really love. He made those that were carrying the priests, that were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. He said, you got to get your feet in the water first. You know, that water was quite swift at that time on the Jordan River, but he said, you got to get your feet wet. And as they went into the water, then God dried it up. And the whole nation of Israel crossed over the Jordan River on dry land. And when they got to the other side, there's 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And God said to them, I want one from each tribe to go back and pick up a big rock out of the riverbed and then stack the rocks on one another right here on the side. And then in the day's future, the stack of rocks here will be a reminder to you of how God allowed you to cross the Jordan River on dry land. And even for your children in the future, this will be a reminder. So when the children ask you, "What, Dad, what does these rocks mean?" Then you tell them, that's when you cross the Jordan River on dry land. I believe it's important to remember your past victories, folks. So often, you know what, we remember our past failures. Times when we've been defeated. But God's trying to cause us to realize we need to remember the successes. When we were victorious. When God and us were working good together. Children of Israel one day were in, the disciples of Jesus one day were in the boat crossing over to the other side. And Jesus was trying to tell them that the Pharisees, some of their religious teachings, he said, you got to be careful about that. He said, it's like yeast. You know, yeast, he says, when you put a little yeast in the dough, it goes through the whole dough. And that's good for making bread. And all of a sudden, the disciples remembered they didn't have any bread with them. They'd forgot to pick up some bread. And so they were thinking Jesus was trying to remind them that they should have got some bread. And Jesus said to them, why are you thinking about that? Now listen to what he did. because this is good for us. He said, don't you remember when the time when we fed 5,000 and it was bread left over? Don't you remember another time when we fed 4,000 and there was a bunch of bread left over, 7 loaves at that time, basketfuls of pieces of bread and so on? He said, don't you remember that? Where's your faith? You know, God's trying to remind us that we need to remember those past blessings and the way that he's cared for us. And that gives us the strength to realize he's going to care for you today. Well, I want to take just a little break. We'll play a song, and then I'll be right back to share the rest of the message. And thanks for putting up with my voice the way it is this morning. You know, this song is telling us, I want to live with a heart that doesn't have fear. Jesus said one day, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. And you know, I want to live life without fear in my heart. And this song is talking about that. So we'll listen to the song, and I'll be right back to share the rest of the message with you. God bless you.
Thank you.
I want to live with a fearless heart, fearless. I want fear to be removed from my life as I trust God. And you know, that's probably the prayer of every one of us. Fear can demoralize us. Fear can paralyze us. Fear can cause us to not reach out. Fear can cause us difficulty. So we want to live a fearless life. I want to spend the rest of the time that we have on some positive things that I believe can help us. And yet at the same time, some things that I believe we need to understand. You know what we got to do, what David did when he was facing the giant? That giant was coming at him with all of his armor he had, with his big sword, all the things that he had to fight little teeny David with. And David just has a slingshot with a stone. And you know what he did? He faced the giant head on. That's what I got to learn, and that's what you got to learn. There's some things in life that we got to face head on. We don't like that. I just love the story, and I mentioned it last week, but it's just been such a good thing for me to be reminded myself of it, is a realization when David started towards that giant. The giant took three or four big giant steps towards David, letting him kind of create that fear in him. You don't know what you're doing, buddy. And he kind of picked on him a little bit for being a little kid, and he kind of made fun of his God. And he come two giant steps ahead. And David immediately started to run. He started to run not away from the giant, but he started running towards the giant. Can you imagine what that giant must have thought as he see this little kid come running towards him? God wants us to face the giants of our life, to fear or whatever else it might be. He wants us to be able to face that head on. In the book of Ephesians, he talks about the armor of God. And he tells us to put on the armor of God that we may be able to stand against all the things that would come our way. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood as he was. But we're wrestling against these principalities and powers that cause fear in your life and fear in my life. So he says, take on this whole armor of God that you'll be able to withstand those things. And at the same time, when you know, everything is said and done, you will stand against that which is going to try to defeat you. And that's exactly what David did. He let the giant know he was resting in God's strength. You let the giant know that you've been made fun of my God, and that's not a good thing to do. And you know, I even love the Lord Jesus for many different reasons. But I got to tell you, folks, in the Garden of Gethsemane, one day he faced a giant. It was a giant of surrendering to die for all mankind. And he prayed so hard three times. And he prayed and he would say, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. He was struggling with surrendering for him to die for our sins. And he came back and he found the disciples sleeping. Can't you watch with me for a little while? He said, my spirit is really heavy. He's going through one of the toughest times of his life. And the disciples that he had spent so much time with didn't seem to care enough to stay awake with him. And I love what he told the disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. I want to tell you this, Jesus is saying to the disciples. He's saying, the spirit is ready and willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to hear that this morning. We need to hear that our flesh is weak. That's when fear comes in and takes over, is because the flesh is weak. We need something greater than ourselves to fight the fear. Somebody just said, you know, just do it. Well, that's easier said than done. He's reminding us the flesh is weak. And Jesus is showing even in his weakness, he wants to do what the Father sent him to do. He knows he's going to do what the Father sent him to do. But at the same time, that surrender time is causing him to cry out, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But you know what? I love what Jesus said next. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's what God wants us to have, that spirit. He wants us to realize that our flesh is weak, but we want God's will to be a part of our life as an individual. So with these thoughts in mind, I want to share some things that I think can help us with this idea of our weakness and the flesh being weak. You know, you can't tolerate the giants in your life, folks. Those giants will keep attacking. Sooner or later, we got to face them head on. And sooner or later, we got to admit we don't have the strength to do it. But we know how to reach God and get the strength that he can give us to do it. The giant of fear likes to take over our thinking process. Somebody had described it, fear, as like a flooding process. Fear like waves that just keep coming, big waves keep coming over us of fear in our lives. I can identify with that. In the times of fear that I have experienced in my life, I believe David could identify with that one time in Psalm 56, the first part of the verses. He said, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. I've got so many things that's going on in my life, fighting all day. He oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day. For there are many who fight against me, O Most High God. When I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I'll put my trust. I will not fear. He's asking God for his strength. You know what, folks? David did not hesitate to admit that there were times when he was afraid. That's the first thing we have to realize. We have to come to the place where we admit, I'm dealing with some fear. In all the things that was happening around his life, he had apprehension. He had panic attack. There is a natural fear of danger and death in our lives. I believe there's a good side of fear factor. Sometimes if you didn't have fear, you would kind of do what the devil tried to get Jesus to do. Jump off in the cliff, he said to him. And God said, he'll take care of you. And Jesus simply said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It's a reminder that idea of fear, it's kind of to help protect us. It kind of helps us to think about it before we do it. That's one of the difficulties there is with youth, is the idea that our youth, we think we can handle about anything. Nothing's ever going to happen to us that we can't handle. But as we get a little older, we realize that's not true. Fear comes in various stages in our life. Fear is not necessarily a bad thing, but it helps us to have a human survival, to recognize some things that we need to do. Many people face fears every day, including myself. Can I just share a little fear that I have that I never had before? When I reached the 80s, I'm 85 now. I didn't have this fear for the first 80 years of my life. May have had it when I learned how to walk. But you know what I have a fear of now? I have a fear of falling. I never had that fear of falling. I have to be very careful. I have to watch. Now, not so much in my own home. We lived in our house close to 50 years. I know where all the little differences are in the floor and that kind of thing. But you know, during this COVID thing, a lot of times a visitation for a funeral that I would do, to meet with the family, I've done it in their home. I go to their home and meet with them in their home. You know what I've noticed in my 85s now? When I go to the house, I have to kind of be alert as I walk in, see the different levels. There's a little raise here, there's a little raise there. There's not a handrail here, and I use a handrail. All of a sudden, that fear factor of falling can take over in my life. And by the way, what has happened when I turned into the 80s is in two different houses, I did fall when there was a little raise that I didn't see. And so that makes that fear factor even stronger. We need to realize there's nothing wrong with that. That protects me. That's a good thing. It makes me be alert. And those are simple little fears. You know what? Job, one day, he lost everything. 10 children had died. He lost all of his earthly possessions. He sat on an ash heap and his body was covered with boils from the top of his head to the tip of his toes. He took a piece of glass and would cut the boils and let them drain. His wife came out and said, "Why don't you curse God and die? That's no way to live." And you know what? Job, he shared his feelings in that, and I'm glad he did. Listen to what he said and how this heaviness and fear had taken over. "For my sighing, I groan before I eat. My groanings are poured out like water. I'm constantly groaning. For the things I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I'm not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. In these times of fear, only God can help us." And I love the way God does help us. And Job learned this, and it was a big part of his life when he learned it, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but God has given us the power of love and the power of a sound mind. God wants us to know that in Him we can have confidence. Job couldn't have that confidence in himself. He was empty. He had no strength left within him. And God wants to become our strength. The Apostle Paul learned that lesson one time from God when God told him, "Paul, in your weakness, you will learn my strength." And that'll be something that is very special for you to know. But not only is it the strength of God that He gives to us and how He tells us He wants us to do that, but He comes to us in those times when we know we are weak, when we know we can't handle it ourselves. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, speaking about the nation of Israel. The whole nation had got to the point that it wants to describe them. You know, one of the things that you'll talk about a lot of times is body language. Body language, and here's what the body language. Strengthen those limp hands. Steady those weak knees. And tell those who are terrified, be brave and don't be afraid. Your God will come with vengeance and divine reverence, and he will rescue you. God's going to rescue you. It's repeated in the book of Hebrews. Strengthen your tired arms, your weak knees. Keep walking along straight paths so that your injury legs won't get worse. Instead, they'll get healed. Trying to live peaceable with everybody and trying to live holy lives. Because if you don't, you will not see the Lord. Make sure that everyone has kindness from God so that bitterness does not take root and grow up and cause trouble and corrupt many lives. You know what he's saying? All of this is what this thing of fear can do to us. And we need God's strength, and he wants to reach out that strength to us, and that's exactly what he says. And as I wrap it up for this morning, you know, I think the bottom line says this, and the sooner we learn it, the better off we're going to be. God tells us that even though the inward man is perishing, the outward man is perishing, rather, God's saying, I'm going to give you strength inward. I'm going to give you strength inside of you to be able to hang on to the things that you need to hang on to and overcome this thing called fear. My song for closing says, mercy walks the road, and God walks the road with you, and God walks the road with me through all of this difficulty. So to overcome fear in our life, we need to realize God wants to give us the strength.
There's no such thing as God forsaken. God won't forsake his kids. He never turns and walks away, 'cause mercy's what he is. When we fall short, flat on our face, he'll pick us up again. 'Cause mercy walks a road that never ends. Mercy walks a road that never ends. Welcomes home the prodigal, time and time again. Like a spring of living water that must be heaven sent. Mercy walks a road that never ends. We're all sinners, God forgiven by his righteousness alone. On a path that's straight and narrow, that leads us to our home. When we stray, he reaches out and pulls us back to him. 'Cause mercy walks a road that never ends. Mercy walks a road that never ends. Welcomes home the prodigal, time and time again. Like a spring of living water that must be heaven sent. Mercy walks a road that never ends. Like a spring of living water that must be heaven sent. Mercy walks a road that never ends.